This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Sadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel, and welcome to another fantastic edition of Late Night Reds Talk, and this time, a combo cast with the boys from Pardon the Punctuation. Late Night Reds Talk, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds, part of the Believe Network, presented as always by Bet Online. The show is live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. I am, as always, joined by Nick Kirby, Carlos Guevara, and, of course, here with our guy, Clay Snowden. But before we get started and talk about the show, let me tell you guys all about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your sporting favorite sports, contests, events, with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today to use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, now that we got that mouthful off the way, we got a lot of people here. This is kind of Brady Bunch-y here on the screen. If you're tuning in, it's kind of could be a cluster, but it's going to be fun. One thing's for sure. So as I mentioned, we have the LNRT crew here. That does not stand for late night retweets. You're not funny when you say that, but we do have the Pardon the Punctuation guys here as well. Jeff, Aaron, and Big Ed himself. Welcome, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having us on.
I just want to say welcome back for the first time.
I just want to say, Aaron, can you do an intro like his?
I'm not the producer.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Well, dudes, we got a lot of people here. Like I said, we got a lot to talk and to do. We got Field of Dreams game tomorrow. We got throwback jerseys. If you listen to this show, you know how much I'm a sucker for throwback jerseys. And I'm not talking about the kind of the one that Jeff's wearing. I am talking about actual vintage Reds era jerseys. But let's kind of talk a little bit. Obviously, just coming off the sweep of the Mets, no one's going to be, you know, it's the Mets. They're pretty damn good. Probably, you know, you can make the case the best team in the National League. But obviously, you know, we know the Reds have done all these moves. They made all these trades. We're kind of moving on now. Blah, blah, blah. We talked about that forever. Kind of get the PTP guys' thoughts here. Where you guys think the Reds are at currently as we look to move forward to the future of this franchise?
I think that they're setting themselves up well. I mean, if you look at kind of like who they went after and the guys that they're stockpiling, obviously, like, everybody's like, oh, you can't play 87 shortstops on the field at the same time. But when you look at guys that came up, you know, typically your better ball players on your little league teams and the teams is like, they all start off as shortstops, like everybody that's good. And you got to find a spot for them whenever they get up here to the major leagues. And to go from being a team that has like kind of targeted these, like, maybe like home run hitters, like your big first baseman, big whatever, that can hit home runs, have some guys that can spray the ball all over the field. I like that.
I know I'm encouraged by the fact that Ryden Rosters just dropped volume 2 on MLB The Show, and there are way more potential A's on the Reds roster right now than there were, a week ago. So, I'm definitely encouraged by it's not just us as homers believing that the Reds have put something together for the future.
I think we're going to the World Series.
Hell yeah. I like the energy, Big Ed. I like it. You know,
thank you.
I don't know if any of us necessarily are there just yet, but I sure should hope so.
Better get there.
Yeah.
I called it first.
You did. Absolutely. So, Clay, obviously, you know, we've had you on for weeks now talking about all this jazz of Reds news and talks and stuff like that. Where are you now, especially now we've got some of these guys a week in of playing some games?
Does Ed have something in his throat? I don't know if you all picked up on that. It sounded like he was about to die. Take it easy there, Ed. First off, thanks for having me on. And I think Jeff's jersey is awesome. It's a number 27 jersey, which means Jake Fraley or Jeff Kepinger, I'm sure. Those are the only two options. I'm sure it's not somebody who we, you know, don't talk about anymore. But I love where the Reds are right now. I mean, in terms of the future, I don't love where they are like today. Their team sucks. And it's kind of difficult to watch at times. I'm just glad that they're out of New York. The future's looking bright. And I know that I've texted with some people that know a lot more than me about baseball and minor league baseball. And they're pretty high on the return as well. We're going to wait and see how it goes. I'm not too worried about the positions like Jeff touched on. That always plays itself out. And at the end of the day, as disgusting as it sounds, these prospects are assets. You can trade them again. And if you need a left fielder, you don't necessarily have to move one there. You can trade one for a left fielder if they so choose. So they're just becoming more multiple, and I like to see that.
Yeah, I think the Reds traded a top prospect for a Cy Young winner. Was that right, Jeff?
Correct.
Yeah.
He who must not be named, it's like Voldemort.
Yeah, it falls in that category, I guess.
We talk about Trevor Bauer. Is that what we're talking about, Trevor Bauer? Are we talking about Trevor Bauer? I wasn't sure. I just want to make sure I was on the same page.
Why does your head pop up from like nowhere? And then
I'm trying
just,
to
like,
fix
disappear
it.
Again.
I'm trying to fix it. I'm sorry.
Ed brings the whole fan club with him. This is incredible. Or it's his burner on YouTube.
Also never rule that out.
Hey,
I don't have a burner.
It's funny because I was on Pardon the Punctuation not too long ago, I believe Deadline Day, and for the time being, it was only Ed and I. And believe it or not, Ed had all kinds of prospect breakdowns and details on Spencer Strider and Christian Encarnacion Strand. So, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about which prospect was your favorite of the return?
I'm a big fan of that guy that plays guitar.
Talking about
Arroyo, that guy. Yeah. He's be a good one. Thanks, Clay.
I guess I'm sorry I missed that episode. I wasn't understand if that was an insider or not. I apologize.
No, Clay's just trying to put me on the spot. That's all. Yeah, and the guys don't want to talk up because, you know, they didn't want to make it to last week's show. So that's fine.
Clay was just pointing out that Ed doesn't know anything about any of the prospects. We're all impressed that he got even the connection with the Arroyo. But yeah.
I know that one guy hit 2 home runs the other night in Dayton.
Yeah.
Noel V. Marte?
That's him.
I see, Carlos. Like, if I hear one more prospect conversation, I'm going to lose my shit.
I was actually just going to ask Carlos what his thoughts on all the prospects were.
Whatever.
All right. Well, I guess, does that take out the Ellie De La Cruz conversation then, since Ed doesn't know too much about the prospects?
For him, yeah.
Maybe for him.
Anybody that's more of like been a human highlight reel than Ellie De La Cruz in the last like couple weeks?
No, he's just incredible to watch. I mean, it does something every night that just is it. I don't know. Just
maybe it's just because like the only thing I see from him are the highlights that pop up. But he at least seems like he's bucking the trend of Reds that don't know how to run the bases. So that's also encouraging. The triple that he then turned the lazy flip of the ball back into the infield into taking home on that was I think it was like end, was it the end of last week? Are you familiar with the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, do we have anybody right now that you would feel comfortable with, like, make that smart decision, or would wait till the ball, you know, lands in the third baseman's glove and then decides to take off? Like, we've had issues with Reds players not running the bases well, and I don't know, it's probably as long as I've been alive, but to see somebody that kind of takes the initiative there with the aggressive base running, I'm all about it. I know I tweeted about it last week when I think Senzel got thrown out going to third, and yeah, everybody's like jumping my case about about making the, what is it, third out at going into third.
I'm used to seeing the Reds run the bases like the Yankees did against Seattle. Was that yesterday, today? Like, I'm used to that, and that gave me PTSD just watching that replay of, like, the double play.
Back-to-back innings, they only got two batters up. Like, how is that even possible? But no, I mean, Clay could speak to this more than me, because, you know, I know Clay's watched a lot more, like, full games of Elly De La Cruz, but it's not, like, just the highlights. It's every single time he's at the plate, he is running 110% on everything. He is always trying to get an extra base. Just so many of his doubles are like singles for fast players, like not normal players. Like, it just, the amount of extra bases that he takes is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he sometimes plays like borderline out of control. It's kind of like a, you know, like a doe, like a baby deer trying to run at times.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, I think in the beginning of the year, I was watching a game and I paused and took a picture of it because I caught my eye. It was so ridiculous. He was turning second and was just past second base, maybe 2 feet past second base. And the cutoff man had the ball in his glove and got thrown out at third. What looked like it would have been a mile, but it was like bang, bang. That's just like the ridiculous speed that he has. He does have some swing and miss in his game. And I know everyone's just like chomping at the bit to get him called up, but, you know, take your time. You don't want to ruin what is looking like a superstar potential. We'll see what he is once he gets to the show. You know, I don't want to call him anything that, you know, too absurd right now, but I think there's a chance next year in September, I would rather just let it play out instead of predict, but 2024, he should be up almost guaranteed by then. It's pretty rare. What you see from him, it does not happen often. The way that he can hit the ball, and that one that he hit 513 feet at 117 miles per hour is John Carlos Stanton type numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, last year he struggled a lot in September, so let's see how he finishes the year at AA, see where he's at. But, I mean, if he comes to camp and he's tearing it up, and, you know, I don't think it has to be, like, September next year. I mean, I think it could be May, June, you know, whenever. I think it could be quick. But, again, let's see. He's probably going to slump at some point. That's normal, and that won't be weird. That won't be he's, you know, not progressing. That's pretty normal for players to have some slumps as they kind of work their way through the system.
Do you guys see, like, obviously 2023 is not like the target year, right? So you've got at least another year where we're not, like, they shouldn't feel pressed to move guys up quicker than they need to be. Give guys, you know, the time to develop where they're at. You know, obviously, if they get promoted, you know, one spot to the next, that is what it is. But I think having the luxury of keeping them in the minor leagues to develop as young players could end up at, when this rebuild turns into, you know, okay, now we're going to be here to compete and we're going to limit these peaks and valleys. Having a stock farm system helps, but being able to give them the time in the farm system to develop and work on the parts of their game that they need to work on, I think is huge for the direction of the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they need to, you know, rush anyone by any means. I don't think they need to, like, hold guys back either, though. I mean, because a lot of these players, it's going to take them some time to develop at the big league level, too, once they get here and adjust. not everyone's going to come up and, you know, like just hit the ground running like Jonathan India did last year. You're going to see a lot more, you know, like guys like Jose Barrero this year, or guys that, you know, take a little bit of time to, you know, to get going. Even like Julio Rodriguez, was awful the first 3 weeks of the season this year. And, you know, there's been a lot of other really, really good prospects that seem like can't miss that it's taken them a long time to get going. So when they're ready, get them up, because there's no guarantee how quick they're going to adjust.
Yeah, Mike Trout slumped quite a bit for the first couple of weeks of his big league career. And, you know, I guess he ended up pretty good.
Even if you look across the league at any rookie, you see some come up and immediately they're awesome. Nolan Jones came up this year for Cleveland and tore the cover off the ball for a week. And they get some film on you. They figure out where your holes are. And I know Carlos can speak on that. You know, pitchers can adjust pretty quickly at that level. So I think it's almost guaranteed that every rookie will go through a tough spout. It's just more about the learning experience, which 2023 is. And I know we all talk about 2024 like it's some golden year. It's really, in my opinion, just the first year of kind of the positive movement, kind of like what we saw in Seattle last year, Baltimore this year, of kind of the brighter days are ahead. It doesn't mean that they're going to be awesome. It doesn't mean they'll even make the playoffs. It just is a little bit of, okay, we're starting, these players that we've heard about for 2 or 3 years in the minors are finally here. We're starting to see why there's some hype. It's the beginning of the momentum. As you know, it usually takes a while for players to get at or near their peak. So I think that 2023 is going to be kind of similar to the ball that we've seen this year since that 3-20 whatever start. Since then, kind of that closer to 500 ball, closer to, you know, not bad, not good, just kind of there. And then 2024 will be a year where we start seeing some positive momentum. And it's really probably like that 2025 through 27 or 28 window that's going to be the most exciting window, hopefully, that we've seen in a while in Cincinnati, which just sucks. Thinking we're talking about something 4 or 5 years down the road. I can see Carlos just like thinking, man, I hate this. But at least he has his Padres and his freaking Juan Soto's and Tatis coming back. Right, Carlos?
That I do have, buddy. That I do have.
Yeah, the Padres will be rebuilding right around the time the Reds are getting cooking.
I mean, they will be rebuilding from trying, at least. Not just from another rebuild.
And they have one of the dopest sets of the City Connect uniforms that have been.
There's a lot of dope things going on down the West Coast, guys. We can talk about that if y'all want.
What's going on in the West Coast?
More of a Chattanooga Lookouts kind of guy.
Samesies.
I don't go to Chattanooga. That's where I got COVID.
They're getting a new stadium, huh?
Yeah. Big time.
Who Chattanooga is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should read the news, Ed.
I do read the news. Didn't their team just get like busted for money smuggling or some stuff like that? Okay, never mind.
Ed, are you making things up now?
Not that I heard. I mean,
what the? Be a lot cooler if they did.
It feels like that feels like the Simpsons.
Take it away, Nick.
When Mr. Burns is like getting all the major league players to be on the company's softball team.
Ed just came out and dropped like a bomb of an accusation on an entire organization and then muted himself.
Got it. August 23rd, 2021. Judge freezes assets of Lookouts minority owner accused in massive Ponzi scheme. That's coming from 9 News.
Huh.
That's old news. They already got money. They're funded.
It was updated on August 24th.
Last year?
Yeah. Well, August 24th has not happened yet this year by the calendar standards.
So a year ago, they got busted.
That went right over my head. I never knew that
just
happened.
Just a hurdle. And it was just a hurdle.
I keep up with the minor leagues pretty well, so. Maybe a little bit better than Clay.
Well, thanks for the breaking news, Ed. What about Encarnacion Strand? Clay, you want to talk about him? Either Aaron or Jeff, you got anything to add about Encarnacion Strand? I know he's kind of not been ranked super high on the prospect list, but I'm assuming that's more just position-wise than his bat, because I think his bat play is about as good as anyone the Reds added.
More than anything.
That's exactly what you see on a lot of these prospect lists. You don't often see a first baseman ranked very high. I know he's played a lot of third too, but he's probably profiles as a first base DH. Those players typically don't have the positional value to skyrocket up boards. But this is a guy who hit 1,100 OPS in college and just barely under 1,000 through the minors. And what we've seen since he's come over to the Reds organization, it's just more of the same. He has a lot of power. He's already 22 years old, so it's not like he's one of these 19-year-olds that, you know, could use a little bit more time. Being a first baseman, he doesn't have to worry as much about kind of learning the intricacies of shortstop or whatnot as he climbs up the ranks. And worst case scenario, this is somebody who they could plug in at DH next year if they wanted to at some point and just see what happens if he continues hitting like this. So he's definitely a good piece, and a piece that I think a lot of people thought was not misranked, but when you come out of college as a kind of a third baseman, first baseman, and you don't have much minor league experience, you're not going to get ranked as high unless you're a really high draft pick. So you already saw the rankings kind of alter, and rankings at this point don't really matter. You could argue they don't matter at all. I know some people will say that, Carlos. And you could see when he changed organizations. He went from 23rd in Minnesota's organization, which is weaker than the Reds. And when he came over, he was moved to 17th. And that was from Pipeline. And I have the numbers here from Baseball America. And they have him ranked, let's see here. I think they have him ranked, 16, right behind Connor Phillips and right ahead of Jay Allen, actually, who's 17th. And those were, I believe, recently updated.
More than anything, I'm just excited to see his last name on the back of a jersey and how the hell that even works. Like,
Strange Gordon.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander style, how it's just like a rainbow.
Full semicircle, right. Like, yeah. Just obscene. If he has a two-digit number that's a little wider, doesn't have like a one in it or something, it might be even more difficult. Like 88, what are we doing?
Well, I think about like Dave Concepcion, and his jersey kind of had like the arch if you like looked at those pictures. So, and he has a double-digit number as well. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It could be very interesting.
Yeah, he has some really, really good at-bats. I mean, every at-bat I've seen, he's working the count. He really knows what he's doing up there. So yeah, I think he'll fly through the system. Like Clay said, I wouldn't be shocked if he is, it makes his debut at some point next year. Yeah. I'm really excited about him.
I mean, he's going to have to, if he makes it through camp as a first baseman, he'll probably slot right behind like Tyler Stevenson at first base. Is that right, Nick?
And you're kicked out of here. All right. Thanks for coming, Jeff.
Round the horn boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we like deduct points? I don't have any control on this one.
Jeff's at minus 10.
Minus 10. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, so I wanted to bring this up because I know, like I said, you know, the Mets series just ended. And like Clay said, thank God the Reds left New York. But last night, there was a very interesting situation that happened at a game where fan favorite Jose Barrero was benched and taken out of the game. And I got a nice text from Nick and Carlos expressing their frustrations from that. And I had a good laugh at it when I woke up this morning and saw it, because you guys know I don't know how to stay up past 10 o'clock, apparently. But wanted to get your guys' two thoughts on that. Maybe if the PTP dudes want to jump in as well. But taking Jose Barrero out for Alejo Lopez last night in the Mets game, for a guy who needs a lot of major league at bats and you're kind of planning to be your quote unquote future, seems pretty strange move to be in my eyes.
I don't know. I think it could also work like kind of, I saw, I believe it was Carlos was unhappy with it. But, and I can see like, yeah, you want to be able to like milk as many at bats out of the end of this season as you can. But maybe it's also like kind of a wake up call for him. Some guys need that. Hey, you're not, what was he like? Yeah. He struck out four times like two nights ago. And then I think he struck out like three times last night. So, maybe, hey, look, we're going to get this. We're going to bring in Alejo Lopez, who is a good dude. I like him. I know he's one of Clay's favorites. If you want to just go by the batting average barometer, he does have a higher career batting average in the minors and in Major League Baseball. So,
and less extra base hits.
So, you know what? Hey, all you need there is the ball in play. And if you're swinging at every slider that's 8 feet off the plate in the dirt, maybe today is the day that you get to see the bench, because it really doesn't matter if we win or lose this game. But this is something that, hey, sit down over there. That could be you if you learn to change your approach.
There's nothing more I want to see than Alejo Lopez passing the baton to Austin Romine to keep the game moving with Edwin Diaz warming up. That's just, I mean, that's what I dream of right there.
Yeah, and Nick had messaged me about it. And Nick, I hope you don't mind me saying, he was rather frustrated. And I just kind of gave him like, dude, like, I just can't get emotionally moved by this at all. Like, I just don't care about that move, because to be honest with you, you're replacing a player who's playing at a D level, maybe a D plus, with a player that's playing at a D or D minus level. Like, and like you said, like, we're not talking about a team winning anything here. To me, I had not really thought about that, Jeff, but that's actually a great point. Like, those at bats that Jose Barrero put together were just not competitive at all. I think he struck out twice on a total of six pitches in that last one, in that second at bat. And I know it probably looked different coming out of the hand, but that ended up way out of the zone and in the dirt. Like, just not competitive at bats. And I'm not, it sucks that the way that they've kind of used him so far, with bringing him up in 2020 and then 2021 and changing positions and his injury, like, it hasn't gone to plan. And I do want him to get more at bats, the majority of the at bats. But if that's how you do a wake up call for a young player, like, I'm not that concerned about it. It's not like the team is battling for a playoff spot and, they decided to do something drastic. In that moment, it did seem a little odd, but overall, I mean, I don't really get that emotional about the move. By the way, OJ's 94 Bronco, great name in the comments here, is having himself a field day if anyone's looking at the comments.
No, I don't understand the move. It really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially with, the night before, two nights before, when Hunter Strickland's given up the house and he's, going to bat for him, saying, we're going to ride with him. We're going to get him through this. For what? This guy's not going to be here next year. Jose Barrero's going to be here next year. You don't sit a guy who you just brought up 10 days ago because he's struggling, because he got three strikeouts in the wrong game. He just hit two home runs in a game the other day. Like, that's what you needed at that moment. It was a home run. You didn't need a 37 dribbler, infield dribbler through the hole for a base hit to drive in one run right there with a Romine on deck. You needed a chance of pop, it just, to me, the message being sent by Bell right there really didn't do much. It's really not anything in the grand scheme of things, but it's kind of like the direction that they're going. I mean, they finally made the move. They moved Kyle Farmer to third base. So they're basically saying, okay, here, Jose, it's yours to take. But then as soon as he struggles, like, you sit him down in an opportunity in a lost season. Like, that's how you learn.
Yeah, I don't really think it helped to better the chances of the Reds winning last night. And I don't know, I would have rather seen them just, give Barrero a shot, boost him some confidence. I mean, I'll acknowledge, I mean, maybe there's a sports psychologist angle to this where, you're trying to motivate Barrero. Seems like a stretch to me. I don't really care about Hunter Strickland at this point. Like, it doesn't, wins and losses don't matter to me really at all. I just want to see individual guys perform well. Alexis Diaz is the only pitcher really worth a damn in the bullpen right now, and he's facing the best batters in the lineup. So really you're just arranging the deck chairs in the bullpen, in my opinion. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're like, you know, hey, these guys all stink. Let's let Hunter Strickland get the blown saves, and as opposed to a younger guy that might, you know, hurt his confidence or something. So I don't know. I didn't like the Barrera move, though.
I'm more of an Ian Gibeault kind of guy. I think Ian Gibeault is just fantastic.
If this would have been 2 weeks from now and Barrero's still struggling and something like that, then okay, I can see it. But they just brought him up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really quick to teach him a lesson. You know, he already learned his lesson last year when he probably thought he was going to get a whole lot more playing time than he did, and he didn't. So I'm pretty sure his lesson's learned, and he knows he has to go and capture this because he's not dumb. He knows who's behind him, who's coming for his job.
And you caught him up, and he's not even hitting that well at AAA. So it's not like
right. You've
really taught him a lesson, you know. I don't know. I didn't like the move. Again, I'm not going to sit here and like act like this is the end of the world or this is going
to
mess
up. It's just something to talk about because there ain't shit else to talk about.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the move as much as I don't like the move. I'm less concerned about that and more concerned about why we haven't DFA'd Hunter Strickland, haven't DFA'd Mike Minor, haven't DFA'd Moose. Like, get them all out of here. Get the bats, get the pitchers up here to just get the experience at the big league level. Like, at this point, none of these dudes are doing anything for you. If you're not going to trade them, you're not going to get anything for them. Even Kyle Farmer, DFA, who cares? Like, for what? What do we need him for? I'm saying it. I don't care.
I mean, you can't just hand out DFAs. I don't think it really works that way there, Aaron. It's not Oprah where it's like, you get a DFA, and you get a DFA, and you get a DFA, and you get... It doesn't work that way.
Sure, why not? You got to pay him. Either way, you got to pay him. Why are you going to pay him to take horrible at-bats?
You have to have people to have fill a roster.
Yeah, bring the little guys up.
Aaron wants them to go down.
There's no little guys in the minor league.
Aaron, you did not watch the game today, did you? Did you watch the poor kid try to pitch today? You want two of those guys up here?
I have a 3-week-old. Of course I didn't watch this Reds team.
Okay, well, you have to go through. If you really want Mike Minor DFA, you got to watch today's game and say, I want two of those guys in the rotation because that's what you're going to get.
Can we DFA Ed?
No, I didn't watch today's game. But about today's game, if Joey Votto leans into a pitch and gets hit by a pitch, it's legal.
It was legal. Did you see that? He leaned in big as shit into that pitch. Like, I guess it was maybe still outside the strike zone, but he leaned a good like 3-4 inches and dipped the elbow down and took it right on the back of the tricep.
Joey Votto invented baseball, so it's fine. Yeah. Some people think it was Dr. James Naismith, but it wasn't. It was Joey Votto.
All right. Before I forget about this comment here, my guy OJ's 94 Bronco really just wants Clay's opinion on Deck McGuire. So, Clay, the floor is yours. Please tell us about Deck McGuire and why he's the next Cy Young winner.
I'm sorry, OJ, but McGuire's not a very good pitcher. This is the second time in the Reds organization. He's doing fine in AAA. He's like 28, 29, 30 years old. I mean, if he gets called up at some point this year, good for him. He gets some big league money. I'd be cool with that. Like I said before, the Reds aren't going anywhere. There is nothing to dream on with that guy. He's not going to somehow turn into something amazing. Probably more of a career minor leaguer, but that's fine. You know, it's okay to be a career minor leaguer, right? And so, yeah, I'm not big on McGuire, but I do have to jump off here. Before I go, though, I just want to say how awesome this is that you all are doing this together. Seriously, like, there's so much competition out there with people and podcasts and whatnot. And the fact that you all are here doing this together, two of the best podcasts in Reds country, I just think it's awesome. Especially, you know, pardon the punctuation, first podcast to ever have me on. Nick Kirby, first podcast to steal me from them. So, a lot of love for both of you all, so I appreciate it.
Easy, Drake. Get your feelings. Get out of here.
I think OJ's 94 Bronco might be Deck McGuire.
I was going to say that. Is that actually Deck McGuire's burner?
Like, is Deck McGuire Mark McGuire's son?
Is that
son?
Means all Clay left. Who is the guy that Clay... I bring this up and I always forget who it was. Clay tweeted at a Reds guy that had left and gone overseas.
The center fielder? Scott Heinemann.
Scott Heinemann.
Scott Heinemann.
The legend.
So I think Deck McGuire might come after Clay on Twitter after his breakdown.
DFA him too.
Hold on a second. Deck McGuire has a 6.92 ERA at AAA. Like, what is going on here?
This is apparently we're Deck sleeping McGuire. On him. Remember last week, Joe Mauer was in the chat because we had Joe M asking Twins questions. We got Deck McGuire this week. Yeah.
Real question. Is Deck McGuire Mark McGuire's son?
I don't think so. It's just coincidence.
Okay. Illegitimately.
I mean, he played for St. Louis Cardinals and Oakland A's, so possibly.
Nick, your dad is in the chat.
My dad is very upset. He texted me this. Why is your face green?
Why is your face green?
What's up, Papa Kirby? Good to see you again.
He had some Skyline.
Oh, I did too. What'd you have?
Whoa. Are you coming at Skyline now?
He does.
Carlos, are you coming at Skyline? Don't you know I ate 9.5 cheese conies to have Sean Casey on our show?
I did not know that.
I like this 5-on-1 dynamic on Carlos, though, for his anti-Skyline sins.
I'll say, like, I just got this shirt at Dick's Sporting Goods. It's a Nike red shirt that's supposed to symbolize Skyline chili. So
it's smashing Cody's right now.
Yeah.
Smash three of them.
What is it about show. Skyline that you don't like, Carlos?
Yeah, what is it, Carlos? Is it the cheese?
Yeah, Carlos.
Just this. Well, yeah, that's not chili. The cheese is like, why do you have to put 1/2 pound on it? What is it? Why? And you're like, no. Don't zoom on me. I hate that shit. But
you deserve yeah, it. You deserve
Skyline,
it.
Skyline is a wet topping. That's what it is. It's like,
man. So when Carlos was in town, the Cardinal series, I was like all excited to talk like food with him. And it was like, I was like, yeah, man. Like when I go to Texas, I love Torchy's Chacos. He's like, that's commercialized. I'm like, son of a bitch, I tried.
I think Kirby's dad is my favorite person on this podcast right now.
He's just why, yeah, Nick, are you feeling ill? Are you under the weather?
I'm hulking up over here.
Is your ring light just kind of changing like LED colors?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, Ryan Cassianos.
We're going to ask him back for the Philly series. Was that next week or the week after?
Good luck getting him to answer now that his brother doesn't play here. Just saying.
Okay.
Right. That's fine.
Okay, OJ, get out of here. What is this? My guy's all over the place.
I agree with 94 Bronco. What was that?
I have no idea.
Not it was Jeff.
Someone TikToking?
It was Jeff. He's gone.
We don't do TikToking on this show unless it's our own segments. Get it right.
Someone check the news. Jeff is gone.
Yeah. All right. Hey, real quick before we get into talking about the Field of Dreams stuff. I don't know if you guys saw this on The Athletic the other day. Friend of the program, C. Trent Rosecrans, put out a projected future lineup of the Reds. Oh, that was pretty cool. Get your thoughts on it. I'll go through with it. Catcher, Stevenson, first baseman, Encarnacion Strand, McLean at second, Edwin Arroyo at shortstop, Noel V. Marte at third. An outfield of India, De La Cruz and Barrero, a DH of Spencer Steer with a rotation of Nick Lodolo, Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, Connor Phillips, Andrew Abbott, a setup man of Joe Boyle, and a closer of Alexis Diaz.
That's a 78-win team.
I kind of agree.
In the first half.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's an obsession right now with moving India from second base.
Because he can't play second base?
He's bad.
Okay. I know that you're super analytic guy, Nick. I get it. But I think it's a lot easier to move one of these new guys coming up to an outfield position than it would be moving India, who's, to my knowledge, never played in the outfield. I know that it's a corner outfield spot, and so there's maybe throw him in left field. A la Winker. He couldn't be any worse than Winker out there, but
I mean, I don't think at least his athleticism. Athleticism would really help out a lot more than Winger's, you know.
India's option wouldn't be to move to the outfield. It'd be to move to third base.
I think
he came up, right?
I think I've been moving him more to like first base or DH.
He's too small to play first base.
He's like an inch shorter than Votto.
Not the guy that I would want.
Not even close.
DH either.
I mean, you have all these guys that are shortstops that are gifted defensively that I think you would be significantly better off moving India. I mean, unless he makes some major strides. I mean, he's been one of the worst defensive second basemen in baseball the last 2 years. So I think you could immensely improve your defense if you moved him anywhere else.
Yeah, I think, I mean, his athleticism has definitely like shown some flashiness, but you know, that's few and far between. I love him. I mean, you know, probably my favorite player on the team. Really enjoy watching him hit, but you know, it's definitely, you definitely see he has some plays where it's like he definitely relies on his athleticism to make things happen, but it's few and far between from what he really should be if he's going to be the everyday second baseman of the future.
Yeah, he makes good college plays. He doesn't make like big league plays over there.
Throws a lot of balls away too.
He's 2 inches shorter than Joey Votto.
I just tried to say that, but I was on mute, so I want everybody to know that I had that before Jeff. If you go back and look at the tape and watch my lips, I had that before Jeff. Also, for Nick's dad, Joey Votto autograph.
I do think that moving him is probably something that needs to be looked at and addressed. Probably third base, where he came up. I don't know much about his arm necessarily from the outfield, but you know, we suffered through Jesse Winker and his noodle arm. So,
yeah, I can't imagine he would be that bad of a left fielder. I mean, American Ballpark. I mean, how hard is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he could obviously make plays out there. I don't know if you get where does he land? Like, where does his bat land him as a left fielder? Nick, since like Stevenson's bat doesn't really like kind of lands him in the middle of first baseman or kind of middle low first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would be a slightly above average, you know, like left fielder, you know. You could also, I mean, you don't also have to like say he's completely removed from second base. He could be like a Max Muncy type where he plays, rotates between second base, first base, DH, where you kind of just have a mix and match and you get him out of the field as much as you can, depending on who's healthy, matchups, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you don't have to like completely take him away, but I think you'd be much better off having McLean or Marte or any of those guys up the middle. I think you're going to save a lot more runs that way.
Plus, like, we hear this every week about, like, well, you know, Tyler Stevenson gets hurt, so we need him from catcher. Like, Jonathan Idiot gets hurt every day. Like, put him in a less contact position, like the outfield.
Yeah. No, we put Senzel in the outfield, and he gets hurt every day, too, so.
I don't think it matters where you put Senzel.
Yeah, I think.
Why haven't we DFA'd him yet?
I mean, he's only costing like $2 million right now.
Yeah, it's not like it's. You guys in DFAs? Like, do you like you play? Is this what you do on the show? And you think Aaron it's just like
you can trade anybody on the show, right? All right, yeah. Like you can trade anybody on the show.
Yeah.
When somebody starts irritating Aaron, it's gone.
Get him out of here.
Like Joey Votto's hitting 220 right now. Do you want him DFA'd?
I mean, no, never. Joey Votto again. He invented baseball.
He was not on my MLB show team anymore. Just saying.
I will say that
how'd you get him to waive the no trade?
I mean, they don't have that on the show.
So. If you go to options, there's a way of forcing a trade.
That's not a thing. So. You've never even bought the show.
I have the show. I have the show from last year.
Okay. Yeah.
Do I need to go get it for you right now and show it to you?
Yes.
Did you buy the physical copy?
Yeah, of course I did. You know what I'll buy digital copies.
I'm team physical content. See,
thank you.
So, yeah.
I don't have enough room on that hard drive. You know I bought the smallest hard drive ever for that PS4?
What?
The PS4's got a bigger hard drive than the 5, my guy.
Do you go stand in line at GameStop at midnight still?
No.
Oh, I stood in line at Best Buy.
Also, there's this wonderful thing where if you pre-order a game on Amazon, it gets to you the day before most of the time. So,
come on, Jeff.
But then you have to deal with the case and the disc.
Oh my goodness. God forbid I have to put a case in a drawer.
What do you do when you want to change the game you're playing, you actually get up and go to the
system? Get my fat butt off the couch and I change the disc.
I'm just waiting for his kids to scratch a disc. Now that they're getting into that age. What are you
going to do when one of your kids picks it up and snaps it in half?
Then that's coming out of their allowance. Hey, look, if my oldest was old enough to, was mature enough to save $300 to buy his own Nintendo Switch, there's enough money in there to replace my copy of the show.
I guess it all makes sense. You do still have dial-up internet, apparently.
I do not have dial-up. It's a 5G Verizon. We'll talk about that later.
Jeff, when you're dealing with last year's game, and you can get that for like $20 at GameStop used, so you'd be all right.
I got it for $20 on Black Friday at Best Buy.
Sports games are a scam, but we still buy them anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, believe me, I fall for the scam every year. All right, I guess we can get to, obviously, tomorrow being the Field of Dreams game is a really cool occurrence. Nick and I were just recently this week on the seventh inning stretch from the Variety Sports Network. You can check that out on their pages. Cheap plug. And we kind of were asked about, you know, if this is a good thing for baseball. And like, truthfully, I think it's awesome. I like it a hell of a lot more than I like the NFL London games because, you know, if you have home season tickets for your team, you only lose one of 81. You don't lose one of seven. So I dig it. I think it's really cool. I like that they're doing the throwback jerseys. I've had to talk myself out of buying the Votto jersey online multiple times now. Thanks a lot for vacations and babies coming soon, but
Jeff has one for you.
But I don't want like the bootleg one from the HBO.
We never said it was bootleg. That didn't come out of our mouths. That wasn't.
DHgate has supplied me with very good copies of my Bengals jerseys.
Yeah.
To get it, you would have, obviously, like, you probably wouldn't get it until next year's Field of Dreams game. But,
yeah.
Like, you would have it.
It's fair. It's fair.
Would have it.
But I digress. Obviously, pretty excited for tomorrow. We get Nick Lodolo on the mound on national TV. Should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game. I mean, I think it should be, you know, be cool to see the Reds, you know, playing on Fox. You know, not going to probably get a whole lot of those games. This is two in a week over the next, you know, year. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm really glad that it's Lodolo, you know, getting the chance to pitch and kind of make a name for himself tomorrow if he comes out and, you know, pitches a really good game. And, you know, if you saw Joey Votto's Twitter today talking about, you know, how much this game means to him, I think those kind of things are what really is going to, you know, make this game special. And, you know, 10 years from now, we're thinking about old Reds games, you know, we're going on YouTube or whatever. Probably won't even really remember, you know, these teams were in third or fourth or fifth place or wherever they're going to be. It'll just be, you know, I think a cool experience. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great idea when they started the whole thing. Obviously, we wish that the Reds and Cubs were, like, you know, battling it out at the top of the division. That's not the case. But it's kind of a nice reprieve from kind of like take ourselves out of the season just for this game to, you know, just enjoy baseball in a setting from a movie that kind of, I mean, I think probably, I guess I can't speak for everybody, but, like, you know, growing up, it was a movie that I watched, like, reading Joey Votto's tweets today, his little tweet thread about, you know, how it meant a lot to him and with him and his dad and that kind of thing. You know, I probably wore out that VHS. I don't think it works anymore. At my grandparents' house growing up, and see the Reds there and participating in it with the throwback jerseys and walking out of the corn and all the extra stuff that goes along with that game. It's similar to like when the All-Star game was here, experience-wise, I think.
I'm going to come out with a crazy opinion about all this. I don't think either of these teams should be in this game. I think they shouldn't announce who's even in this game until the All-Star break. That way you have two competitive teams in a game that people actually want to watch. Because I don't know that I'll even watch this game. I don't care about a terrible Reds team playing a terrible Cubs team in a game in the middle of Iowa that no one can get tickets to. I think the whole thing's dumb right now, the way it currently stands. And I don't think that either of these two teams should be in this game this year.
Damn, who peed in your Cheerios this morning?
I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense to me. Like,
so how's it going to work logistically? So,
look, man, they were putting together football games in a week during COVID. Logistically,
yeah, you can put it together. They're not doing it at a neutral site.
I don't know, man.
The Reds lost a home game for this too, so I mean, they had to like, kind of prepare for that. It'd be kind of tough to just, you know, throw two teams in last minute.
That, I mean, that doesn't even get me started on the fact that 162 is a little too much anyway. But
oh, Eric,
you're a traditionalist, all about the numbers. I get it, but I'm just saying, like, I'm here to just.
Those are two different things. Traditionalists and all about the numbers are very different things.
I mean, kinda, but you can be both. You can be both. In any case, I'm just throwing fire on everything right now with all of this. So
I was about to add. I was like, you know, I really wish MLB would do more of like these type of games. Like, let's add like an extra series somewhere else. And...
Sure, with teams.
Yeah, remember the Yankees and Red Sox had that London game a couple years ago where it was just like a home run derby, basically. That was pretty fun.
Yeah,
is that the one where they put that like it was on like a was it at on like a soccer field?
Yeah, I think it was at Wembley. If I remember,
they had like the T-ball or like wiffle ball style fence in the outfield.
Yeah, the Cubs and Cardinals are going to be doing it next year. They announced it's coming back next year. So
the Cubs are going back again?
No, for the
They're going to London. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cubs and Cardinals are in the London series is coming back next year. So,
okay.
I remember
the Reds did that Mexico City series.
Yeah, I was about to say I'd love to see more things like that. I'd love to see them. You know, I think the thing would be really cool is if they try to do like some replica like old stadiums. And did a you know a couple games and something like that. I saw someone talking about like playing a game at the Hall of Fame maybe on like induction weekend like they do in the NFL. I think more of this stuff, the more you could do with this kind of stuff and crazy environments and you know, different stadiums that kind of create some extra intrigue. I'm all for. I wish they'd do more of it.
Is anybody else disappointed?
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Is anybody else disappointed that the outfield wall isn't just corn stalks? Like, did they have to put a wall out there? Like, I want to see Joey Votto, not Joey Votto, obviously it would be Joey Votto going from first base. But like, I just want to see a guy out there, like, just running into the cornfield, catching the ball, coming out, like, hey, I got it, guys.
I feel like Puig would have been great for that.
Puig would have been great for that. Like, all right, guys, I got the ball. Everything will be all right.
It's me, your friend.
Monterrey, Mexico.
What? Where's that?
That's where the Reds.
Oh, yeah, they did have that game a couple years ago.
2019.
But yeah, Carlos, when you played a travel ball, did you guys ever play there at Doubleday Field in your travel ball days in Cooperstown?
Yeah. The one in Cooperstown? Yeah, I went there twice. I went there with the Reds organization and then once I was a member of the Padres. And then I've been to the Field of Dreams summer ball 1999. I think that was a summer. Yeah. But up there, it was me. Like, I liked the movie and everything, but like being there was just kind of whatever.
The outfield wall is at cornfields, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a little league field that they really didn't take care of. And there's telephone wires running all the way across the field. So.
Well, they have two fields right now. Like, they have one
field. Now they do. Yeah, now they have that.
They have, like, that old field, and then the other one's, like, an actual semi-mini stadium.
They have, like, the movie set field and, the field from the movie. And then it's, like, when they do those, like, big, like, overhead pan shots, like, you can see it's up, like, the road there in front of the house. And then they have the one that they built for this experience.
That Doubleday field looks pretty sweet. I'd enjoy a ball game there, I think.
It's pretty cool. Only place I've ever been to a game I saw a left-handed catcher.
Especially they did a home run derby there. Oh my god! Like, Adam Dunn was hitting it off of people's roofs every single one. Like, because the fence was like 235 feet. It was ridiculous. It was so small.
It's like a church. Right,
maybe not that small, but it was. I mean, he was literally hitting it off of people's homes.
Aleo Lopez can pinch it, and that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there you go.
And the conditions were brutal, so they brought up like all the minor leaguers. Like, as soon as they get one bat, they're out of the game because they're like they're gonna get a foul ground ball. It's gonna hit them in their face. Like, it's terrible.
Like, the field conditions were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? So bad. Not too far from Niagara Falls.
What?
I don't think you're too far from Niagara Falls. There are you?
I'm confused. What does it have to do with the field?
Because it's the water, the rain travels the thing. No, not me.
Cooperstown?
Am I crazy?
Cooperstown's like 3 hours from.
Okay. I've done both in like a week when I was like 10. So to me, they're like right around the corner from each other.
I'm like, what the hell did I just miss?
My bad. My bad. On me. On me. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be cool. I understand where Aaron's coming from, but it's a little difficult to kind of, yes, logistically make that happen within a few weeks, like especially in a neutral site. So
teams have off days. You can move some stuff around. Just be liquid. It's fine.
Did it real well during COVID season.
No, I'm saying like you're not going to be able to get fans there. Oh, 2 weeks, my team's going to play there. Anyway. Okay, I'm going to go.
There's only 2,000 tickets. You can't go anyway.
It's all the rich folk.
And you have to live in the state of Iowa to even like be in the lottery for
it's
tickets.
It's so expensive to see that game that I don't even think Bob Castellini can make it to that game.
Oh,
that was pretty good, Ed.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think like the majority, like the lottery tickets, and like you have to be an Iowa resident, and then each team gets like an allotment that they route, because there's only like what, like 15,000 seats there or something. Look it up, Ed.
Yeah, that's probably.
Oh, I got you.
15,000.
That might be too many.
I think it's like 4,000.
I think 15,000 really seems a lot.
It's like nothing. So who cares what fans are there? No one's fans of the Reds and Cubs right now anyway. They're all terrible.
Capacity 9,791.
Oh, right in the middle.
Way more than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a neat spectacle on TV. That's for sure. I did see somebody.
Sorry, that's Double Day Field. That you wanted the Field of Dreams game, didn't you?
Classic Ed. Yeah, look that one up, Ed. I did see a hot take on Twitter. Nickel like this. Somebody said that the camera, you know, so like last year the camera was right behind Aaron Judge, right when the Yankees came out and through the field. They said that it should not be. Okay.
I said 2,000.
So they said it shouldn't be, the camera shouldn't be behind Joey Votto. It should be behind Kyle Farmer coming out of the,
because it's a cornfield.
Is Costner going to reprise his role and just do the same shtick every year?
Probably.
That's terrible, too.
I can't wait. I mean,
He hasn't done a baseball movie in about 20 years, so you know he's got to stay in the baseball love somehow.
Well, he probably counts on whatever that appearance fee money is, too.
Yeah, there's that.
Buck Farmer's got to get in this game, too, right?
No. Yeah.
Buck's still on the active roster, isn't he?
He doesn't need to be. No.
I saw Joey's mic'd for this game.
Aaron already DFA'd him, so.
Get him out of here.
Yes. Who for the Cubs is there?
Ian Happ.
Ian Happ.
Bearcat.
Bearcat.
Aren't the Reds blacked out in Iowa?
Probably.
I don't think they're one of the six teams, but this is a national TV game, so you should be good.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that the Sandlot Field still exists?
See, that would be a cool, that would be a kind of
we
a cool
game
way.
There.
Yeah.
Have some weeds growing out there that, you know, the ball could roll into in the
pre-party at the pool.
That's where
party at the
that's
pool
where teams,
Wendy that's Tepper where teams, corn be there.
That's where wild teams, dogs running around.
As long as James Earl Jones is there.
Better watch your ass. That dog's coming.
That's where teams sell, like the Reds and the Cubs should play.
You could sell a suite in the treehouse in right field.
Oh, you could. Yeah. And all the players have to wear PF Flyers.
Oof. A lot of watch ankles out. Be broken that game.
And one team, they don't get to wear uniforms. They got to wear jeans and whatever they can find.
You know, blue button perfect ups. For Cincinnati. That's perfect.
Agreed.
For the Reds.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, dudes. This has been a fun hour. I really thank the PTP crew for hanging with us tonight and shooting the shit with us. What else is there to talk about?
We don't do 6-hour shows.
Yeah.
You talk about wrestling on this show?
No, we only cover one sport, so.
Yeah. We're not Joe
Rogan. It's my wrestling minute.
Yeah. But yeah, so thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks, Clay, for coming and hanging out with us. Thanks to the PTP guys for agreeing to do a dual cast with us. We definitely appreciate the time. We'll be back next week. Hope you guys enjoy Field of Dreams tomorrow. And don't forget, we're brought to you by Bet Online. Go to Bet Online, use BLEAV50 and get that 50% welcome bonus. See you, everybody.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big.